text is going to be taken from John chapter 1, but before we read from John, I'd like to read a few words from Exodus chapter 12. We're going to be seeing the connection between the Passover lamb and Jesus coming as the Lamb of God. So we're going to be reading just a few verses from Exodus chapter 12. Now, Exodus 12, that's found on page 63 in our black pew Bibles. And just the first six verses there in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then, as you know, they were to take blood from that Passover lamb and smear it on the posts of the frames of their door houses." Let's now turn to our text from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, here at the beginning of Jesus' public earthly ministry, John is going to be identifying Jesus for us. This is John chapter 1 at verse 29, and this is page 1053. John chapter 1 at verse 29. "The next day, he," being John, "saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" And as far as reading in John, I would also like to read one question and answer together in our catechism. This question and answer 40. Question and answer 40, just that one question and answer in the back of our red songbooks is page 878. And I'll read the question, let's respond with the answer together. This Lord's Day 16 question and answer 40. Why did Christ have to suffer death? Because God's justice and truth require it. Nothing else could pay for our sins except the death of the Son of God. And as far as reading in the catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we read together what is one of the earliest and most clear declarations concerning the identity and work of Jesus Christ. When you parallel what we read in John 1 and what the angels declared when Jesus was born, we get a full picture of what this work is that Jesus was called to do. The angels said, "His name is Jesus, because he takes away our sins." In Jesus, there is forgiveness of our sins. That's why he has that name. And now we come to John's declaration. As he's speaking to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." As we draw near to Good Friday, it's helpful to remember that the death of Jesus Christ took place during Passover week. It was, in fact, as Jesus was walking into the holy city on Palm Sunday, he would have been surrounded by a crowd of people looking for a lamb. Now began the busy work of selecting lambs to die on Passover. And even when Jesus was giving his life outside of the city, the Passover lambs were losing their lives inside the city. So today we are going to see that Jesus Christ is submitted to us, presented to us by God as the only sacrifice for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ is identified as the Lamb of God who takes away our sins, a text taken right from John chapter 1. And the application that we're going to see, we're going to start with the application, which is the first word of John's declaration. Behold. Behold. Look. Pay attention. John speaking to his disciples, now speaking to us. This is important. You need to pay attention here. Of all of the lambs that you can find in the land of Israel, of all the saviors that are being presented today, pay attention. This is the one that you need to know. This is the one who saves from your sins. You must look to the Lamb of God. In our first point, then, we are going to see that the Lamb of God is presented as the spotless Lamb. We're going to note his character traits. In order for a Lamb to be acceptable as a sacrifice, and specifically a Lamb given on Passover, this Lamb has to be without blemish, Exodus chapter 12 says. To be without blemish meant that the lamb could not have any stain, could not have any broken bones, couldn't have any sickness or wounds or infection. He had to be perfect. The lamb had to be without stain in order to be acceptable to God, making this lamb both incredibly rare and incredibly expensive. This was the most precious lamb that could be found in the land. And no one could bring a charge against it. Upon inspection, it would be able to be verified that there is nothing wrong with this lamb. In fact, as time would progress later on in Judea, when the Passover lamb would be selected, the priest would come to make an inspection of this lamb to ensure that this lamb would provide an acceptable sacrifice. And then after the priest would inspect this lamb, that lamb would be taken to the respective homes and tied to a stake by the door of that owner for the next 3 days. Everyone who passed by could see this household has a lamb and that lamb is pure. That lamb is acceptable, spotless. In a similar way, when Jesus Christ enters into the city of Jerusalem, the lamb is being put on display. Starting at Palm Sunday and lasting until Good Friday, this lamb was going to be inspected. This lamb was going to be put on trial. And even though the priests and the rulers of that day would try to drum up, to fabricate some form of accusation, all would fall. Not one charge would stick. So in Matthew 26, you find the chief priest finds nothing to charge him with. And then in Matthew 27, Pilate declares, "What evil has this man done?" In this way, Jesus is inspected by Jew and Gentile, ruler and priest, common man and leader, and no one could find something to accuse him with. All were forced to say, there is nothing that can be charged against this man. Truly he is the spotless, the lamb without blemish. Now, why must Jesus be without blemish? Because God is holy, and any sacrifice made to him must be pure. That is why Jesus must be above reproach, free from sin, because a sinner cannot pay for the sins of another. Only someone who is pure, who is perfect, could be a fitting substitute. Added to this, the Lamb of God comes in humility and lowliness. Isaiah 53, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep is silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth. He enters the holy city on Palm Sunday with humility, lowly, riding a donkey's colt. Jesus, being accused, was silent before his accusers. He did not raise his voice when he was falsely accused. He, as Hebrews 7, verse 26 affirmed, is holy, innocent, unstained, and separate from sinners. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lamb of God must be a pure lamb, must be acceptable, holy, in order to be pleasing to God as a sacrifice. The purity of the lamb makes it the most expensive, of great worth, dare I say, of infinite worth and value, because he is without sin. As 1 Peter 2, verse 22 affirms, he committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. So Jesus was the spotless lamb, and in order to apply this, question and answer 38 of the catechism says, why did Jesus need to suffer under Pontius Pilate? Jesus had to suffer under Pontius Pilate so that the innocent one might be condemned by an earthly judge, and so free us from God's judgment. So Jesus is the spotless lamb, but he is also, we see in our second point, the dying lamb. It's helpful to remember that in the particular time period that we find ourselves, in early Judea, it was not uncommon to find lambs of both sheep and goats. But these lambs were not kept as pets. They weren't just cute little things that people had around for fun. No, they were a means of sacrifice and sustenance. Lambs were kept to be killed. Sheep were bred to die. The sacrificial system and the ever-present presence of lambs was a constant reminder that death was knocking on the door. Even as white wool would be stained with red blood, the sight of butchered animals was common. So when Jesus is identified as the Lamb of God, this is a death sentence. To be a lamb means that you are on your way to death. As the Lamb of God, Jesus is going to be set apart as a sacrifice. Now remember, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb from God, Lamb sent by God, God's Lamb. He is a gift of God with a design to die. This clearly proves that God in his love provides the necessary substitute. The one who would save us from God's wrath is provided by God himself. Even as Abraham promised his son Isaac, you'll remember this from Genesis 22. That's when Abraham was going to the mountain to sacrifice his son. And Isaac says to Abraham, we have the wood and the fire here, Father. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham fittingly says, God himself will provide the lamb. And so he does. In order for a lamb to be a blessing, to do any good to the people, he has to die. It was not sufficient just to have a lamb around. That lamb needs to die. He has to have his blood shed. Going back to the first Passover, you'll remember that the blood of the Passover lamb needed to be smeared on the doorposts. All of this is to say that Jesus not only had to live a perfect life, as we saw in our first point, the spotless lamb, he has to be killed as a sacrifice. His body needs to be broken and his blood needs to be shed in order to secure forgiveness and sustenance. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has to be sacrificed. So the lamb could not die of old age, could not die of some other natural cause. The lamb's life has to be cut off in its prime. The Passover lamb would live to a year old and die in all its strength. Exodus chapter 12. So also the life of Jesus would be cut off, snuffed out in the prime of life. Isaiah 53, he would be cut off from the land of the living. All of this is to affirm the fact that the Passover lamb, being identified as a lamb, was a death sentence. The work that the lamb is being set apart for is that of dying. We read this in question and answer 40. Why did Christ have to suffer death? Because God's justice and truth demand it. Nothing could pay for our sins. Nothing could satisfy the justice and wrath of God save this, the dying of the Passover lamb. Sacrifice was needed. So Jesus was killed at the hand of cruel, wicked men. The hands of man driving nails into his hands and feet and a spear into his side, all so that we might find forgiveness. You see, man had sinned. Man deserves to be condemned. We are under a curse because of our sins. But to satisfy this curse and remove God's wrath, the Lamb of God needs to die in our place. Even as Revelation 5 verse 6 identifies, the Lamb had been slain, but was now victorious. And the wonder of it all is this: Jesus knew this when he came. He came willingly to lay down his life for his people. He came for a reason, to give his life as a ransom for many. To be a sacrifice, but also to be our sustenance. To be our food and drink. You see, the work of Jesus Christ has in view not only our justification, but our sanctification. To be our sacrifice, but also our food and drink unto eternal life. So that as a congregation, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we are given strength for the journey. As the Old Testament Israelites not only had the blood smeared on the door to be a sacrifice, that body was to be roasted and then consumed. The Passover lamb needs to be eaten. Because not only is death done away with, but a new life is to be lived. And Jesus Christ's body and blood are the sustenance, giving us the strength to live the new life, to go out of bondage to the promised land. So we find that the Passover lamb was spotless. He was also the lamb that died. And then finally, he is the lamb that saves. The one who dies is the one who sets people free. As John identifies, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is our substitute, and he takes away sins. Now, this word to take away means to lift up, to bear away. It's not just the removal from one, but it's carrying by another. We are to envision here Jesus taking the burden from our back and placing it on his own shoulders, bearing our sins, taking our sins from us and paying for them on his own account. As 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds you are healed. The death of Jesus Christ is an atoning death, is a sacrificial death. It's a beneficial death for us. For by it our forgiveness is secured. This forgiveness was already pointed to at the first Passover. You'll remember, children, in Exodus chapter 12, that when that Passover lamb was being killed, the head of the household would dig a trench in front of his house, slit the throat of that lamb, causing that blood to come out. He would then take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in that trough of blood, and smear it all the way around the doors, performing a portal of blood, if you will. And when that plague, the angel of death, or the avenging angel, entered into the land, and he saw the blood, he would pass over. The angel of death would not enter that house because death was already there. Someone in that home had already died. Satisfaction had been made. A substitute had been killed. Thus the wrath of God and the sting of death were turned away. So that blood, which was a visible reminder on the wooden door frame, points to a substitute who secures forgiveness and life. So when it comes to Jesus and his blood soaked the wooden cross, we are reminded of our benefit. A substitute was made for us. Jesus' blood turns away God's wrath, removing death from us. But what the Old Testament Passover lamb could only do in part, Jesus now does to the full. You'll remember Hebrews 10, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to secure our atonement. The blood of the Passover lamb only covered or postponed judgment, where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, secures the complete forgiveness of all our sins. In this way, the blood of the lamb becomes a mark, a seal, a baptismal sign upon God's people. God's wrath has been turned away. The blood of the Passover lamb distinguishes the Israelites from the Egyptians. One remains in death, the other liberty and life. 1 Peter 1, you were ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. You see, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was accompanied by the host of people looking for a lamb. So we hear the words of John. Behold, this is the lamb you need. Behold the Lamb of God. And as Jesus was giving his life outside the city gates, the Israelites were still going through the motion of looking for Passover lambs inside the city. But now that Jesus Christ has come, his blood was shed for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. What does Jesus do? What does the death of the Passover lamb secure? John says the forgiveness, taking away, lifting up the sins of the world. In this way, the sins of the world are lifted up and removed. He takes away the sins of the world, John says. His sacrifice is sufficient for the forgiveness of all, and it's applied specifically to his people, gathered now from every nation and tribe. The world enjoys the blessings of the Passover lamb as the sins of his people are pardoned. For God so loved the world that he sent his lamb, so that whoever partakes of this lamb would have their sins taken away. To conclude, the connection between Christ, the Passover lamb, and Palm Sunday reminds us of the blessings that we have. As the blood of the Passover lamb secured life for the Old Testament Israelites in Egypt, so the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, satisfies God's justice and secures life for us, his people. Jesus not only celebrated the Passover with his disciples, he embodies Passover. As the body of the Lamb became the sacrifice and sustenance for God's people, so Christ is our sacrifice and sustenance. His body broken, his blood poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. So let us listen to John and heed his words. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice in the great blessing that is ours through Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for that one sacrifice which has been secured for us. May we heed the words of John as his disciples did, looking to Jesus, following Jesus, putting our faith in him as our Lamb who takes away our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.